Blouse shrugged. "If it gives you any satisfaction," he said. "It's an abomination, of course, but these days it's hard to find something that isn't. You must tell the world, Mr. De Word, that Borogravia won't lie down. We will not give in. We will fight on. Write that down in your little notebook, please. While we can stand, we will kick." "Yes, but once again, may I implore you to—" "Mr. De Word, you have, I am sure, heard the saying that the pen is mightier than the sword?" De Word preened a little. "Of course, and I—" "Do you want to test it? Take your picture, sir, and then my men will escort you back to your road." Otto Schreck stood up and bowed to Blouse. He unslung his picture box. "This will only take 1 minute," he said. It never does. But Polly watched in horrified fascination as Otto took picture after picture of Lieutenant Blouse in a variety of what the lieutenant thought were heroic poses. It is a terrible thing to see a man trying to jut out a chin he does not, in fact, have. "Very impressive," said De Word. "I just hope you live to see it in my paper, sir." "I shall look forward to it with the keenest anticipation," said Blouse. "And now, Perks, please go along with the sergeant and put these two gentlemen back on their way." Otto sidled up to Polly as they walked back to the cart. "I need to tell you something about your vampire," he said.
"Oh, yes?"
"You are a friend of his?" said Otto.
"Yes," said Polly. "Is something wrong?"
"There is a problem.
He's got twitchy because he's run out of coffee."
"Alas, if only it was that simple." Otto looked awkward. "You have to understand that when a vampire forgoes the B-word, there is a process that we call transference. They force themselves to desire something else. For me, this was not painful. I crave the perfection of light and shade. Pictures are my life, but your friend chose coffee, and now he has none."
"Oh, I see.
I wonder if you do. It probably seemed so sensible to him. It is a human craving, and no one minds if you say, as it might be, 'I'm dying for a cup of coffee,' or 'I'd kill for a cup of coffee.' But without coffee, he will, I'm afraid, revert. Do you understand, this is very difficult for me to talk about." Otto trailed off.
"By revert, you mean?"
"First, will come mild delusions, I think. A psychic susceptibility to all kinds of influences from who knows where, and vampires can hallucinate so strongly that they can be contagious. I think that is happening already. He will become erratic. This may last for several days, and then his conditioning will break and he will be once again a true vampire. No more Mr. Nice Coffee Drinker Guy."
"Can't I do anything to help him?"
Otto reverentially laid his picture box in the back of the cart and turned to her. "You can find him some coffee, or you can keep a wooden stake and a big knife ready. You would be doing him a favour, believe me."
"I can't do that."
Otto shrugged. "Find someone who will."
"He is amazing," said De Word as the cart rocked back down through the trees. "I know the Clax is against your religion, but he seems to understand all about it."
"Like I said, sir, he assesses stuff," said Jackram, beaming. "Mind like a razor."
"He was talking about Clax algorithms that the companies are only just now investigating," said De Word. "That department he was talking about."
"Ah, I can see nothing gets past you, sir," said Jackram. "Very hush, hush. Can't talk about it."
"To be frank, Sergeant, I'd always assumed that Borogravia was, well, backward." Jackram's smile was waxy and bright.
"If we seem to be a long way back, sir, it's only so's we can get a good run-up."
"You know, Sergeant, it's a great shame to see a mind like that wasted," said De Word as the cart lurched in a rut. "This is not an age of heroes and famous last stands and death or glory charges. Do your men a favour and try to tell him that, will you?"
"Wouldn't dream of it, sir," said Jackram. "Here is your road, sir. Where will you be heading now?"
"To Kneck Valley, Sergeant." "This is a good story, Sergeant. Thank you. Allow me to shake you by the hand."
"Glad to hear you think that, sir," said Jackram, extending his hand.
Polly heard the faint clink of coins in their passage from palm to palm. De Word took the reins. "But I must tell you, Sergeant, that we'll probably send off our stuff by pigeon within the hour," he said. "We will have to say you have prisoners."